The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show, Friday, February 23rd, 2018. We're doing a lot here today as we're featuring the music of Meatloaf. He is our featured artist for this Friday. We're featuring a different artist every Friday. Today is Meatloaf Day. It's a nice thing to say. I was persuaded and moved by something Peggy Noonan wrote in her column that will appear in the print edition of the Wall Street Journal tomorrow, but online today, about the influence of Billy Graham on the culture. And she used the life of Louis Zamperini, the protagonist in the story Unbroken, and how his life was saved by Billy Graham. To ask the question that I've been getting a lot of emails on, I would love to hear callers on this as well. What is it that might have, or who is it that might have changed your life? It doesn't have to be a religious experience. For a lot of people, it was. It doesn't have to be. It could have been a book or a series of books or an author. It could have been a movie. It could have been a quote. It could have been a piece of advice someone gave you that you've never forgotten. It could have been a parent, a coach, a play. If your life has been changed from in any direction, towards the better, I'm curious to know what it was. I'm going to read an email from someone who recently got sober, and I will give you that in a moment. First, I have to tell you this story that just gets weirder and worse at the same time that has now been broken about the shooting last week at the Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. We learned, of course, I guess it was yesterday, that the school resource officer, who has now been dismissed, was standing outside for 4 of the 6 minutes while the rampage was taking place. That's not the only weird and worse thing we have learned. Since then, CNN is now reporting when the Coral Springs police officers arrived at the school in the midst of the shooting, many officers were surprised to find not only that Broward County Sheriff's Deputy Scott Peterson, the armed school resource officer, had not entered the building, but that 3 other Broward County Sheriff's deputies were also outside the school and had not entered. The deputies had their pistols drawn and were behind their vehicles, the sources said, but not one of them had gone into the school. With direction from the Broward deputies who were outside, the Coral Springs police did enter the building where the shooter was. New Broward County Sheriff's deputies arrived on the scene, and 2 of those deputies and an officer from Sunrise, Florida, joined the Coral Springs police as they went into the building. The Coral Springs police were stunned and upset that the 4 original Broward County Sheriff's deputies who were first on the scene did not appear to join them as they entered the school. It's unbelievable to me. This is absolutely unbelievable to me. And yet, the head of the Broward County Sheriff's Department has been some kind of, and seen and quoted and used as some kind of moral authority here, to criticize those like Dana Loesch, who appeared with him on CNN. Ben Shapiro had a tweet today, as the weirdness of this story unfolds, that I wanted to share with you. He writes, police are systematically racist. Police act stupidly. Police are over-militarized. Give the police all your guns. But guys, you can't expect armed police to charge mass shooters. All of these statements are being promulgated by the same people. It is the same people who have told us police are racist, police are stupid, police are over-militarized, we should give the police all our guns, and you can't expect armed police to charge mass shooters. This is what you get from the left. This is what you get from the left. Again, the tragedy beyond the lives and the wounded in Parkland is that this was totally preventable from a lot of different angles. There's a great piece I want to commend to you up over and up at American Greatness on something I was talking about with Steve Giannini in the last segment. And it's something we've talked about before here, which is basically the crisis of men and manhood. It's really a crisis of lack of courage almost as much as anything else. It's titled Cowards and Losers, Name One and Forget the Other. It's written by Bill Kilgore. That's a pseudonym for a man who is currently in the U.S. Armed Forces, writing, of course, for himself. It's the pseudonym of a writer serving in the United States military. He writes, civilized society requires that men retain a bit of something uncivilized inside of them at all times. Think that there is no liberty without the right to revolution. There can be no consent of the governed if men cannot withdraw their consent. Withdrawing consent and the right to revolution require that men have the necessary virtue to return to a state of nature, often through a state of war. Likewise, there are always monsters lurking in free societies. Sometimes they do terrible things, and when they do, we need something that is scarcely compatible with civilized society. This is the role of men in society, to keep this thing around and not let it escape. It is a terrible task with terrible consequences if we fail at it. For when we fail, children die, people become slaves. And so the cost of failure has to be high. When a man fails in his duty, when a coward succumbs to his deficiency, that is when it's time to shame, and eternal shame, and nothing but shame, as Shakespeare says. That's the American experience. It is built around the realization that courage is required. It's also Aristotle, courage being the first virtue. Can be seen in many places, but we see it most notably in our depictions of things children no longer see anymore. The Wild West and the story of how we civilized the frontier. Children don't see these things anymore. They've been wiped away, like the great literature I quoted from earlier. You do see it in a theme of a movie we talk about a lot here. It's representative of a lot of others, but The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, which is a film about how civilized men do not have what it takes to establish or possibly to preserve a civilization. The task requires a special kind of man who keeps that terrible ferocity accessible in his life. That's the character played by John Wayne. It can be found in some contemporary Westerns as well, Kilgore writes, most notably the great movie Open Range, in which there's a scene that all young boys and those who presume to be men should watch. Robert Duvall's character and Kevin Costner confront some men who know their town is run by a tyrant, but who have done nothing. At first, one man replies that they are just ordinary people. Costner asks him, "Well, you're men, ain't ya?" And then a man replies that they would just be killed. To this, Costner says, "You may not know this, but there's things that gnaw at a man worse than dying." Things that gnaw at a man worse than dying. We need to raise our boys to be men. Men who understand that manliness is courage. Kilgore writes, manliness is courage. It's not just a trait for heroes or Navy SEALs or those of us in the military. It must be a common trait in common men. We have to habituate men to pain and struggle. We must show them the higher reward for lower costs. We must habituate them to the idea that in that time of crisis, they and only their courage is what matters. We do have a problem with that today, folks. We saw it in Parkland. We see it in a lot of places. 602-508-0960. Be right back. Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. I'm Seth Leibson. On this Friday, February 23rd, our phone number is 602-508-0960, proving yet again we are not a local show, but a national show based locally. Mm-hmm. Joel is calling in from Georgetown, Texas. I know where Georgetown is. Hi, Joel.
Hi, it's actually Joe.
I'm sorry, Joe.
Before I actually get to my topic,
That's a problem in society. Is we're adding things to things that don't need to be, like the word price point. Why is price point a word? Whatever happened to just price? How is price point different than price? Right?
I have no idea.
Right, but this is the problem we deal with, and it's why I added to your name, and I apologize.
Well, apology accepted.
Thank you, sir.
First, before I get to my topic, Southern Cross is a good song, but it's not even...
We're doing this again. Okay, all right, fine.
Would be Sweet Judy Blue Eyes about Judy Collins, and that is their best song.
Okay.
Anyway, what I was calling about is...
The reason Joe is instructing me on this is because I once made the claim on this show, maybe twice, that the best...
Maybe five times.
Okay, maybe five times. The listeners keep me honest. That the song Southern Cross by Crosby, Stills, and Nash is the best pop music song of the last 50 years or something like that. Maybe I've... Anyway, okay, fine, Joe. We like a good, healthy controversy here. That's fine.
You're talking about the man who shot Liberty Valance.
Yeah.
As a way to teach. There's another great Western... Shane, either the book or the movie, that has everything in it for men. It's courage, friendship, honesty, how to treat women, how to raise your kids. I mean, you can't do better than watch that movie to find out.
I know the movie well. I know the book well by Jack Schaefer, right?
Schaefer.
Yeah. Jack Schaefer. And it's a fantastic movie with a great... great cast. Van Heflin, Alan Ladd, right?
Jack Palance.
Jack Palance, of course. Ben Johnson. Oh, my gosh, Ben Johnson. Haven't talked or thought about him in forever. Right. No, this is a tremendous movie. By the way, I think, you know, I don't know if you heard in the earlier part of the show, is talking about literature that high school students should have read maybe a generation ago, what they did read. I remember Shane was assigned to us when I was in maybe seventh grade. I remember that's the first time I read it. I would be surprised if anyone in the seventh grade or, for that matter, high school knows the book today.
I would go along with that. I believe that's true. Well, before I leave, one more choice for your Friday singers.
Oh yeah, we highlight. We are now doing this thing where we highlight or profile and highlight a specific singer every Friday. Today we're doing Meatloaf, who's from Texas, by the way, Joe. Yeah, you got a suggestion for us?
Well, this man is not from Texas. He's probably, well, outside of Bob Dylan, he's probably the best singer-songwriter of the last 50 years. That'd be Van Morrison.
I'm not opposed to doing Van Morrison. But it comes to me as bitter fruit of a poisonous tree when you say Bob Dylan is the best or of the best singer-songwriters of the last however many years. I have a friend in town, a listener named Steve, who tries to foist Bob Dylan on me all the time. And I have to tell you, I'm not buying it, Joe. You have to understand what the heck the guy is saying, and I cannot. Yeah. That is the mark. First of all, it's inscrutable. You can't understand him.
Yeah. I'm a little older than you, and I grew up with him, but I would not object to calling Van Morrison the best.
I'm not going to do that either, but I will but I will take the suggestion, Joe, because I like Van Morrison well enough, and he will, as they used to say on American Idol, he will get through. He will get through. Okay. We will have a Van Morrison day. I might combine it with Warren Zevon. We might have a Van Morrison, Warren Zevon day.
Okay, well, that both is better than none.
Okay. I mean, we'll have to edit the lyrics on one of his songs, Lawyers, Guns, and Money. But Joe, thank you very much. I appreciate your call and your spirit. Andy is in Phoenix. Hi, Andy. How are you, Andy?
I'm dandy. I just wanted to, I don't know if you watched the show Blacklist.
I watched the first season, I think.
okay, this last season, the second to last episode entails two guys, Russian mobsters, going to brutally terrorize one of the good guys. He's all tied up. They're getting buzz saws out. While they're getting dressed to take away the blood, they're playing the Southern Island. Okay, Southern Cross.
Yes.
They have the music, and then they finish it up with the Sound of Silence.
Oh.
And I just wondered, have you ever seen the video of the Sound of Silence by the Jews in the city?
No, I don't think so.
Watch it, because it's phenomenal.
You're talking about the old Simon and Garfunkel song?
And just like their song was about nobody speaking up.
Yeah.
In a way, this choral group was, turns around.
Okay.
You'll love it.
I'll take a look.
My moment in my life was in the early 1980s. I was visiting my mom, and she told me, I'm going out at 10 o'clock, so I hope I don't wake you up. And I said, Mom, it's like 30 degrees out. Where are you going at 10 o'clock? She said, well, I'm meeting women from the parish, and we're picketing the post. I said, you're going downtown at night in 20-degree weather and to walk around the building for 4 hours? And she said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. I said, what is wrong with you? She said, well, let me tell you something. If you don't stand up for what you believe in, nobody else is going to. And I kept that with me the rest of my life.
I like that. We have a song. Yeah. Maybe we'll get to it when we exhaust our meatloaf here on that. We have a country song, You've Got to Stand for Something or You'll Fall for Anything. We'll play that, Andy, too. Thank you for your call. I appreciate
Take a look at that sound.
I will do.
Enjoy it.
I appreciate it. We are asking people to tell us stories of things or moments that changed their life. Andy did this one vis-a-vis his mother. Gene Lanieri is looking at me like I'm a gorilla in the zoo for some reason. Was it a religious experience? Was it a great book or author or teacher or coach? Was it something your parents said? Something that changed your life? Was it substance abuse rehabilitation? I want to read an email about that. 602-508-0960. Please tell me. I love stories of improvement and conversion. Again, whether they were from religious or other experiences. When we come back, Arizona Corporation Commissioner Justin Olson is joining us on the impact of the Trump tax cuts and utility rates. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. I'm Seth Leibson. 602-508-0960 is our number. I wanted to take a break to bring on to the show one of my favorite people in public service, former member of the state legislature, now a member of the Arizona Corporation Commission, if I can speak, and that is Justin Olson. Justin, welcome back to the show. How are you, brother?
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you, buddy. You had reached out to me earlier in the week. You are one of the members of the Corporation Commission. You are the member on the Corporation Commission who has pushed to have the utility rates that we all pay be affected, have them reduced because of and due to the Trump tax cut. And I read this morning, in fact, in the Arizona Republic, that is exactly what has happened. Tell us a little bit about it.
Absolutely. I'm very excited about this opportunity that we had to reduce rates. You know, and it's great news for the economy. You know, the tax reform that passed in December did significant reforms to our tax code, benefits to individuals and families with doubling the child tax credit, nearly doubling the standard deduction, benefits to our economy by decreasing the corporate income tax rate from 35% to 21%. And now with this reform at the Corporation Commission, we're actually adding additional benefit to the economy by decreasing the cost associated with our utilities. This will benefit all households. It will benefit businesses, small businesses, all because of that Trump tax cut that passed in December.
If I read the story right, what took place will reveal ultimately the president's tax cut, allowing a cut amounting to $119 million from the rates.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's not insignificant. It's an average reduction of $5.40 per month for the average residential customer. But in addition to that, all of the goods that we purchase, a significant amount of the cost associated with producing those goods are the utility cost.
That's
so
really interesting.
That savings will also be passed on in our goods and our services that we purchase. It's a significant reduction, $119 million that we enacted yesterday, and that's just the first reduction. So in February last month, I offered proposed a process for the commission to adopt that would require all utilities that collect tax expense to reduce their rates and pass all that savings on to their customers. And we enacted that at the commission, and the utilities have 60 days to bring those calculations to the commission for us to evaluate them, ensure that indeed they did the calculation correct, that all of that tax expense will be refunded back to the ratepayers. And APS was the first one. They
That's
led
right.
by example, and I'm very thrilled that they came forward and offered that calculation. I went through the calculation myself. I work in the private sector as a tax manager, and so I've got some experience with tax policy and was confident that this indeed did pass all that savings on to the ratepayers.
You did it the right week, too. This was the week that Nancy Pelosi came to town to talk about how bad the tax cuts were for the people of Arizona as well as the people of America. In Arizona, we have an average of $2,500 in after-tax income going back into the paychecks of middle-class families here. Now you take that $2,500 for middle-class Arizonans and now add to it what you're doing, Justin, through the Corporation Commission and what APS has stepped up to do. My gosh, I mean, you are talking not about real money, but very, very real money. I'm just delighted that you guys are doing this.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, I always get a kick out of the media when the Congress was debating tax reform, talking about how it was unpopular. And I said, well, you know, of course it's unpopular. That's because the media has been telling individuals that they weren't going to benefit from this plan. Well, individuals have realized that they are seeing more in their paycheck, and they're going to continue to benefit from this tax reform. And this has been a significant benefit to the economy. We've seen it in the growth in the stock market. Certainly, the expectation of tax reform led to growth prior to the passage of tax reform. Then we saw additional growth after. There was a small correction a couple weeks ago, but we've already seen recaptured almost half of that correction as well. The market's going in the right direction now.
Good for you, Justin. Thank goodness. I mean, people hear you. They can understand and begin to appreciate why I think of you as one of my favorite public servants. Thank you for doing this. Thanks for reaching out and jumping in and talking a little bit about it and giving this story some more legs and life. And I'm glad you're going to be keeping at it, Justin. God bless you. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much.
Thank you so much for having me.
You
it's
betcha.
It's been a pleasure. You have a great
you,
weekend.
You do the same. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960. I want conversion stories, whether they are religious or not, whether it was a book, a coach, a teacher, a counselor, a line you read, a quote you heard, something that has helped you change your life. 602-5080-960. We'll be right back. That's Read 'em and Weep by Meatloaf, a song Jim Steinman, I think, originally wrote for Barry Manilow, but Meatloaf put it out first, if I'm not mistaken, and Barry Manilow then did a version of it later. I tend to like the Meatloaf version. I'm a big Barry fan, but I like the Meatloaf version better. There's just, more vocal cowbell, if you will. I was really inspired by a column Peggy Noonan wrote about how Billy Graham saved Louis Zamperini's life. And I am curious to hear about things in your people, things, books, articles, stories, plays, teachers, coaches that changed and saved your life. It doesn't have to be religious. It certainly can be. Mike is calling in from Phoenix. Do I have that right, Mike?
Yes, sir, you do.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for giving me a chance to share my testimony. I appreciate it, and God told me a while ago that whenever I get the opportunity to let people know what he's done for me, don't hesitate. So I figured I better call.
Thank you. I'm glad you did. Tell us.
Well, it was actually Sheriff Joe and Jesus combined in Tent City 2002 to 2003. I had found myself in jail after about 15 years of drug addiction, and hopelessness in my life was overwhelming. In the 12-step program, they call it pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, and that was what stamped my life. And there was a guy that was in there in my pod with me that suggested I go to a church service, and hadn't really had any interest in church or God at all, but he told me they were giving out coffee and donuts in the service, so I decided I'd go because I was literally starving. And something happened. God did something in that service that got me interested in reading the Bible, and within the period of 6 months while I was at the jail, I found myself a believer in Jesus, and changed everything for me. When I got out, I got into a recovery program, and I found a fantastic church, and here I am 15 years later, and I've been sober for 15 years, and I've got a family. I own a business. I employ 15 people, and I get to go back to the jail every Tuesday night and preach the gospel. It's fantastic.
Wow. Mike, that's such an incredible story and such a standard story in many respects. I hope you take it the way I mean it. I have heard
you know where
I'm going with this, don't you? A lot of people say they never saw the light until they saw the law, and then once
right.
they got into the law, they often would get into a 12-step program or some kind of prison fellowship program. They often work hand in hand.
That's true.
I know that phrase. I'm familiar with the phrase you used, pitiful and comprehensible demoralization. That marks to me that you are also using or have used some kind of 12-step program.
I am still heavily involved.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Mike. Again, testament that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. It can be done. It can be done.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, hey,
stay with it. Yes, sir.
Note,
anything you want. Go right ahead.
No, I just say on a fun note, because you're doing Meatloaf Day.
Yeah.
One of my great friends, one of my best friends that I grew up with, a guy named Paul Crook, has been Meatloaf's lead guitar player and co-producer for about 10 years. And I love it when I hear Meatloaf on the radio, because he's not popular enough in the States. He's huge in Europe.
Yes, he's huge in Europe. That's where I discovered him. That's where I discovered him when I was in college
right.
in London. Yeah. In the pubs.
My friend sends me the pictures from the stadium shows from the stage, and there's, 50,000 people, and they come out here
yeah.
and they play the State Fair.
I saw him at the State Fair. I think I was in the fifth row. I have a favor to ask you, Mike.
Yeah.
I have a favor. You did not know this was coming your way. I've always wanted to interview Meatloaf. Might you be able to go through your friend to see if this could happen?
I'll send him a text on Facebook.
Thank you.
I happen to be semi friends with your producer Bill Davidson there.
Oh, okay. Well, that may help
exactly
too.
How to get a hold of him.
We will treat him. we will treat him more than very well. He is someone I have long wanted to interview. I have. It will be a good interview for him.
I will. You know what? I will send the word on to my friend Paul through Facebook and see. I don't know when they're going to be in town, but you never know.
Thank you very much, Mike.
If I get a hit on that, I'll definitely let you know.
That's great. I appreciate it. That's wonderful.
All right.
Hey,
thanks for letting me share my testimony.
Thank you for doing what you did, and thank you for telling your story. This is how other people get help. They know it can be done. The theoretical is proven by the actual with these stories, Mike. I appreciate it
right.
very
and,
much.
And Jesus says that faith comes by hearing the word. So
thank you, sir.
There you go.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, thanks, man.
You
God
betcha.
Bless you.
You betcha. God bless you. And congratulations on your sobriety. Marilyn is in Phoenix. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Seth.
How are you?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm great. Thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Your previous caller's story was quite moving. I don't know that mine is quite as significant.
Marilyn, it's as significant to you as his was to him, and it may, and you never, and you never know what it will touch with someone else. So it's
well,
don't
true.
You
it
betcha,
is.
You betcha.
For me, it was a dramatic change, and that was Victor Hugo's Les Misérables.
Okay,
the story, the book, and the musical. I was born and raised into a Christian home. I'd heard about, you know, Salvation by Grace and blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't until I saw that production and then read the book that it really struck me. It's such a powerful story about how grace can change the life of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so moving to me. I get choked up even just talking about it, because it's an example of an individual whose life is at the very bottom. You know, he's imprisoned and unjustly, and he's bitter, but his life is changed by a graceful act by a bishop who sets him free. And interestingly enough, the priest who has the opportunity to put him back in prison, and rightfully so, because he stole from him, he stole silver from him, gives him the silver in front of the police and said, he didn't steal it, I gave it to him, it was a gift.
Yeah.
And then he tells him to live his life for God.
Yeah.
He said, I bought, you know, with the silver, I paid the price and bought your soul for
yes.
God. It changes his life. And every time he's in a situation where he's tempted to take care of himself or do the right thing and make sure that no one else pays a price unjustly, he always takes the risk to do the right thing. And it's just a beautiful story. And it changed how I see the world.
This is I was looking for this kind of story too, Marilyn, because a lot of people, thank you for that, a lot of people will cite a piece of great literature, which of course Victor Hugo's work Les Miserables is. There is a lot in great literature, some like Victor Hugo. I have taken cues from even some of the great moderns like the Great Gatsby. Thank you for sharing that. I very much appreciate it. 602-508-0960. A book, an experience, folks, a line, a coach, a person who gave you something that changed your life. I'd love to know. Be right back. Well, that's not the opening of the song, but it's a good chorus. It's a song, All Coming Back to Me Now, made famous first by Celine Dion, written by Jim Steinman, based on, speaking of great literature, it was theoretically based on Wuthering Heights. I'm not fully certain of to how that worked with Jim Steinman, but it is beautiful, both by Celine and Meatloaf. As we are featuring him as our featured artist today. As you know, this Tuesday we are doing a great event with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla, No Safe Spaces. You can go to 960thepatriot.com to get your tickets. This is looking to be probably one of the most popular events we've ever done. It's certainly going to be one of the most interesting events Phoenix will see this year. And we're going to give away a couple tickets, general admission tickets here. I am going to give out the number one more time. If you're caller number 4 and can stay on, love to talk to you, 602-508-0960. And we will give you a free pair of tickets, two tickets, general admission to the No Safe Spaces event this upcoming Tuesday with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. I also want you to stay on the line when you do call in and tell me a story of the week, the most important story of the week, or the story you think that was not covered well enough this week. Or, in the alternative, you can give me a conversion story or a story about something that changed your life for the better, a book, a movie, a play, a coach, a piece of advice, anything like that. I'd love to know. I'd love to know how people change their lives or hold on to something they read or heard or did that has motivated them for the rest of their life. I'm getting the idea from what I read in Peggy Noonan's column vis-a-vis Billy Graham and what he did for so many people in their lives. So the story can be religious if you want it to be, but I know for a lot of people, they have stories that aren't necessarily religious. It can be a great book. It can be, as I say, a great teacher. It can be just a quote or a play. We had a caller earlier who cited Les Miserables from Victor Hugo. We'll be right back, 602-508-0960.
Thank you. three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.